parents. So you know where we're going, right? God's Word. So let's start at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. Well, it's wonderful to see your wonderful faces, beautiful faces. And yeah, I'm so blessed that every time I come up here, and which is often, I see folks, some folks all the time, and that's, and a couple that I see consistently is Dan and Rebecca Mekus. They have been so faithful through the years, and just a wonderful part of our fellowship. So I'm real thankful for your lives, that you've faithfully been here. And you know, it means something as a teacher, as someone that coordinates a fellowship, to see people faithfully participate. And you just look at different people. I mean, there's several, you know, there's others as well. I mean, look at the Woods and people that have been here for so long faithfully. Kathy, and I better stop names because I'll leave out folks and I shouldn't, but it means something. You know, you're going to teach God's Word. You're going to present something, and you see faithful people. It really is significant. And so I just wanted to say that and share that. But what I want to do now is get into something that we started last Sunday. And last Sunday we started about functioning as God's prized possessions. Okay? We talked about that God chose you to be His prized possession. You know, He reached out to you before He took... Let's talk this way. If He had a team to pick, all right, and has a ball game here, and He's going to pick the very best, and you've got, you know, angels and other things, animals, everything that He's created, guess what? Which one He would choose first? You, born again ones. You're His prized possession. The more we understand that and appreciate that, the more fulfilled our life can be. So this is part two of what I shared last Sunday. And let's take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And my goal with this teaching is that no one in this room will leave here without recognizing how valuable they really are as God's prized possession, functioning in the body of Christ, and that you will recognize that there is nothing more important, nothing more than important that you will do in your life than answering God's calling. God calls you, the best thing you can do is answer. Answer that calling. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, or a new being. That's a little more accurate rendition of that particular verse there. So you are His creation. You know, He does a good job when He... has a little task to do, and He makes it. You think it's not very good? No, it's the best. So if you're His new creation, then you are just something super special. Very special. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship. We're His masterpiece, created in Christ. And we should walk in that, it says. We should walk and the greatness of what God has made us to be, to work His good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Well, let's take a look here at verse 18. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. God has given us something very valuable, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the privilege and opportunity to bring people to Him. Get them born again. Just like Al was sharing, I thought that was appropriate for him to share how he worked with Alicia to help her get born again. Greatest thing you'll ever do for anybody is to help them get born again of God's Spirit. Have eternal life. Become God's prized possession. Really. So, in that, remember, He just didn't sit us on a pedestal and say, ah, look at that beautiful prized possession of mine. He gave us something to do, dynamic to do. And that one thing here, many things, but this one thing here is to bring people back to God. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Later it talks about He's given us the word of reconciliation. We heard in the manifestations that He's given us the enablements, right? He's given us His love. Remember hearing that in the manifestations? What a wonderful emphasis. You know, again, these things come up and they collaborate with the teaching, what God wants communicated at this time. So, we have been called. We have been called with the ministry of reconciliation. We've got the word of reconciliation. He's committed that to us. In verse 20, now then we are ambassadors. We represent God. What a wonderful privilege it is to function, to have something to do that has significant meaning, that we can function as His prized possession. What a wonderful thing. Yeah. You know, we got to remember that we were bought with a price, right? You're not your own. God bought you. You belong to Him. And you're God's greatest. You are His most valuable thing. You are special. You are prized. You are worthy. You're expensive. You're precious, priceless, and invaluable, and on and on and on. That's how important you are. You are so important to Him. So you and I should want to rise up and be and act all that God has called us to be. You know what? God didn't call us to be a conqueror. Look at Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. God's called us to do and be a lot of things, but one thing He didn't call us to be was a conqueror. You know what He called us to be? More than a conqueror. Isn't that something? 8:37. Romans 8:37. He has called us to be more than a conqueror. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Wow. We are to remember this, you know. I want you to go, there's another verse we want to look here in chapter 8, but before we do, go to 1 Peter. But remember, we're coming to back to chapter 8, okay? So don't forget to leave something in there to help you get back. So 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation or race, a royal priesthood. Wow, think about that. That's who we are. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. I mean, I've had a lot of people say that about me. You're kind of peculiar. Well, what that means is, in the Greek, and a good translation would be a people of acquisition. You've been bought. You know, you've been paid for. You are a people that don't belong to yourself. You belong to who? God Almighty. In order that, with this purpose in mind, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath what? Called you. He's called you out of darkness unto whose light? His marvelous light. Wow. This world is dark, isn't it? It's horrible. People are walking around. They're bumping into each other and everything else. It's horrible out there. But we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Man, oh man, what a wonderful situation we're in. Now let's go back to chapter 8. Chapter 8, I want to show you another verse in here, maybe a couple verses. Chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Do you want things to work out in your life? Keep loving God. Keep loving God. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. Wow. He has purposed you to be a part of His purpose. You know, we may have certain purposes in mind. We have goals, things that we would love to do. But when you understand that you're bought with a price, you belong to God Almighty, that you're His purpose. You know, you're what God wanted in life. You know, what do you want in life today, God? I want people to love me. I want people that will do what I've purposed them to do. And we have the privilege to do that. You and I are it. We are those proud blessed. Now, don't get too excited there. I know some of you want to jump up and dance and stuff, but okay, just hold on to your seats. Because this is, I mean, when you think about this, you should be more excited than watching somebody score a touchdown. Isn't our world wacky? Some ball that doesn't have a shape, I mean, it's kind of oval and stuff. This guy catches it, he crosses a line, everybody and their mother goes nuts. Oh, yeah, all right, he scored a touchdown. Wow. Isn't it amazing what people get excited about in our world today? Unbelievable. Alicia got born again. All right. Hey, if we're not going to get excited about it, who does? God's Word says the angels celebrate when somebody gets born again. They know what's valuable. They could give it if anybody scores a touchdown or not. They don't care. They're not into sports. All right. I'll settle down here a little bit. You know, we are called according to His purpose. We are called. You know, our getting born again wasn't some haphazard event. You know, we didn't trip over a Bible and a page open to Romans 10:9, and oh, I see, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you say, oh, I believe that. And now I'm born again. No, no. God has called you. And if you're born again, you have answered the call. Now, are we going to continue to listen and walk the calling? Okay? Function with how God's called us? See, that's our challenge today. Because if God called you, He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for each and every person here. Specific thing for us to do in the body of Christ. You know, the ball is in, well, you sports here, the ball is in your court. And He has picked you on His team. You know, people spend millions of dollars to pick somebody that can kick a ball through some straight up and down poles, right? Millions of dollars just to do that. You're valuable. You're more valuable than that. So we need to recognize the value of our calling. 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The more we realize something and then value it and understand it and appreciate it, then hopefully we'll do something about it if it pertains to our lives, and obviously God's Word does pertain to our lives. This is what God's given us so that we can know Him, that we can know what He's called us to do. All right, chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, or imparted to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him do what? Let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Okay, God's evidently going to make a point here. If you're circumcised and you're called, oh, I'm called by God, I'm circumcised, now I've got to get uncircumcised. Now that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, the other way is too. If you're called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Okay, so, you know, what are we going to do here with this calling? Depending on our background, who we are, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Doing God's word, that's everything. That is everything. Doing God's word, keeping God's word. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was what? Called. If God's called you to do something, do it. If God's called you to run a fellowship, run a fellowship. And it could be anything. If God's called you to pick up John, Sue, and Mary to go to fellowship, go pick them up. Whatever it is, whatever God's called you to do, do it. Do it. Hey, if you're called being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. You know, maybe you are a servant. Of course, you know, we don't have that in our culture right here. But in those times, Bible times, people were servants. They were bound to serve in a family. And he's saying, you might be that, but you know what? You're the Lord's freeman. You may belong to somebody, but you know what? You're free in Christ. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You might be free, but you know what? You're a servant of Christ. Yeah. You are bought with a what? Verse 23, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Who are we the servants of? Yeah, God Almighty. Hey, I'm a servant of God. What a privilege. What a privilege it is. Man, oh man. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. There it is, folks. Therein abide, dwell, remain with God. What has man done for you more than God? Who are you obligated to do for in these times? You have a job, maybe they pay you. You got the post office, you work there, you pay there. You know, you are obligated to man. But who does the most for us? God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. Our obligation to people is great, but our obligation to God should be greater, shouldn't it? Yep. Man, oh man. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to close here in 2 Timothy. You know, the ball's in our court, though. And what are we going to do with that ball? You know, are we going to play that game that we've been called to play, or what? So, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, what was Paul called to be? Apostle. His calling was to be an apostle. Wow. To bring new light. To share the truth of God's word. according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. One of the greatest things you and I can do, and we're called to do, is to pray. To pray. We should be praying a lot. You know what that does? That puts the ball back to God, and let He does the work. You know, we have to put ourselves in situations. God can't, you know, God's going to work through us. He's going to talk through us. He's going to do things through believers that believe, that minister. You know, somebody needs a healing. Well, go believe God. No, you minister to that person. God tells you what to do. You do it. That person believes. They're delivered. They're delivered. There's a gentleman that I talked to yesterday on the phone, and he's very excited to come here and meet all the believers. Odd situation in that this summer he found our website, and he's been looking out. He's an old way believer, and he's on his own. He's a little over 60 years old, and he's been searching for somebody to fellowship, and he's in Seattle. And really nobody that he's been able to connect with. And some of the folks he's connected with just didn't work out. So he's looked here and there, and he found our website, and it really appealed to him. And he's been listening to all our Sunday teachings and everything. And I didn't know about it until, what, several weeks ago. And so I called him yesterday. And boy, oh boy, I'm thankful we do what we do with our website and other things within the ministry here. But he's going to take a vacation, and he's going to come down here and go to all the fellowships he can. So pretty neat. Don Mueller. And so he's going to come the 24th of January, and he'll be here a couple weeks. So you'll have the opportunity to meet him and visit with him. Why did we get off on that? Prayer, yeah. Just talking about prayer, and his answer to prayer is coming to pass. So, pretty neat. Okay, let's finish this section here. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I tell you what, when you do the things of God, there's a joy that you get that just transcends anything else you could ever feel or experience. No greater joy. Well, the Word says I have no greater joy than to see my people walk in truth, huh? Wow, that's how God has His joy. We have joy by doing the Word, doing what we're called to do. Wow. Okay, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith is fakeable, something that's not real. You know, it's just a cover-up. And this is what he's saying, that he's remembering this faith that's pure. It wasn't some fakey thing. Say, oh, I'm a wonderful believer, but you owe me $5 and you better give it to me, else I'm going to come over there and punch you in the nose. No. No, just a real quality in and out believer. So I remember this faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. An heritage of believing. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's I pray that my children carry on the Word. And if the Lord tarries and I'm gone, their children, like little Oliver, will continue to carry God's Word over the world. Boy, I kept giving on these tangents here. I'm persuaded in thee, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here in the beginning of this wonderful epistle here, Paul is ministering to Timothy via the Word of God here, and he's putting him in remembrance, and he's saying, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God that he laid hands, he ministered to him. Well, what do you think that gift is or was? The best I understand this, it'd have to be Holy Spirit. It could be here specifically a ministry. Yeah, could be a ministry. I think perhaps that is more specific, but we know he's born again. The point is, stir up. And do you think he's talking about just a little stir? I don't think so. Let's really get into it. Actually, the Greek word here is to means to flame up. It means to stoke the fires. Let me see. I think I had a get on fire. Get lit up. That's what we would say today. The Amplified says, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame, keep on burning. Let's get that fire going in you. You know, sometimes believers just get, you know, they have that little flicker. With the heaters, they have a pilot light. Just a little old light, you can barely see it. And if you try to get warm by it, you'd have to burn your fingers to get close enough. Right? But he's saying, hey, let's turn on the burners here. Let's get this Holy Spirit in operation. That's what we need to do. I see that. I believe we all here as a family need to stir up. Let's stoke the flames of this gift of Holy Spirit that we have in. Let's stoke the flames of who we are in Christ and what we've been called to do. And that's why last week, man, when Barney came up and gave you the pencils and the paper there, you know, God told him to do that. He had no idea why. And I shared something about resolutions that I wasn't in my notes, but I had read a book and I kind of threw it out there. God had me do that, I guess. And bingo bango. See, this is stirring some things up. Take action. Write it down. Follow through with a God-inspired instruction. You got me? God inspired us to do that, so do it. If we're not doing these things, it's no wonder we only have 20 people here. And it's not about numbers, I know that. But that's a bad excuse. It is all about numbers. Because we want more people born again. We want more people to have the opportunity and privilege to hear the rightly divided Word of God. This place should be packed. This should be packed with people. I'm not saying we got all the answers and we're the most articulate teachers and everything, but I tell you what, we've got a wonderful understanding and knowledge of God's Word that very few brothers and sisters have. Yeah. So we need to stir this gift up. Turn up the flame. Well, let's finish up here. All right. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You know, really that word fear is cowardness. And you put that together with stir up that gift of Holy Spirit. If you're not using that Holy Spirit that you have, are you a coward? That's really what's being communicated here. You haven't gotten the spirit of cowardness. That spirit inside of you is something that works. It's powerful. It can do great and mighty things, heal people, bring people to God, born again of God's Spirit. Let's stoke that thing. For God hasn't given us a spirit of cowardness. We should be bold. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Whew. Okay. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Manifestations, a great message about love and giving it. Have we have it? We need to give it. That's what we have. Verse 9. We didn't do 8, did we? Let's do 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Are we ashamed of it? No way. No way are we ashamed of it. nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We're going to be afflicted. We're going to have challenges. The adversary is going to get us to trip sometimes. But we're going to get up, aren't we? And we're going to do it according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a, what, holy calling. Holy calling is a special calling. It's just not a haphazard, you know, call from a sales telephone thing, you know, you get all these calls. Holy calling. Holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to whose own purpose? God's own purpose. Initiated a call from Him to you. Are you going to answer it? Yeah, yeah, we're answering it. We're going to be it. We're going to do it. Which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. Before the world began. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A holy calling. Not according to our own purpose, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wow. You know, we are special. We've got to see that. It's not just like, you know, God says, well, I'm going to call you. Leslie? Oh, let's call Leslie. What do you think, Michael? Gabe? What do you think? Shall we call Leslie? Get her, she's her time. She's going to believe. She's going to do something for us. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, but take it a little farther back. Before what? What does it say there at the end of that verse? Before the world began. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means. But in the planning of things, God knew you would believe. It's as if God, you know, had it set up what we would be doing, how important our life would be. He called us not on a haphazard whim, but on something started way back then. See? You and I were a part of God's dream of dreams right in the beginning as things were getting planned out. Do you see what I'm saying there? That's a big deal. We are a big deal. And we want to recognize it, don't we? We want to see that. You see, the ball's in your court. If God puts the ball in your court, what are you going to do with it? Sure, you're going to do something with it. If God gives you a football, what are you going to do with it? Catch it and put it away? No, you're going to use it. You're going to run with it. Sure, if He throws you this, a tennis ball, He's called you to play tennis. Yeah, your name is on that specific calling. That's yours. Don't give it back. See, maybe He's called you to be a volleyball player. All right? That's your calling. Make it happen. Make it happen. This is too dangerous to throw. All right, He's called. That's yours. God has called. He's given you something special and unique that's yours. Now the ball's in your court. Let's stir up that flame. Let's get it cooking. And let's be who God's called us to be and walk on it. Okay? All right. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us and making us Your special own holy ones. And Father, thank You for giving us a purpose in life that transcends any purpose man can have on his own. That our dreams, Father, can be Your dreams. Our aspirations are Your aspirations, Father. So thank You for allowing us to be so involved in Your life and in Your purposes. So Father, I just pray that we all rise up and be what You've called us to be in the family of God. And we all need a kind of a kick in the butt maybe and an encouragement. But I know It's all about your love, Father, that you love us so much, you love people so much that we have to function, Father. So thank you for making us your prized possession and giving us the privilege to function and to be who you've called us to be in this wonderful, beautiful family. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.